And we are ready to go. So we started to, we saw the sukkah in Lamed Gimel, in Lamed Dalet already. And we got to Lamed Hey Amar Aleph. So maybe now the Gemara's second line down said, I think this is where we got to. It's just the second line down in Lamed Hamad Aleph. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara was in the middle of discussing the halachas of how long a mil of how long Shbeinah Shmashas is. And the difference boiled down to Amachlekes, if it is 3/4 of a the time it takes to walk a mil after Shkia, or 2/3 of the time, or the time it takes to walk 2/3 of a mil. What's the difference between 3/4 and 2/3? The difference is one a palga de danka, a half a sixth, which is a 1/12. So the Gemara just points out that even though the opinions of the Rava and Rav Yosef over here are, Rav Yosef said it was 2/3 of a mil, and the rabbi said it was 3/4 of a mil. So even though the opinions are that Rabba is has the smaller shear over here, 3/4. No, that would be the larger shear over here. Nevertheless, the chilufa be chalasa. Nevertheless, their opinions are reversed in a different machlekes with regards to Rabba and Rav Yosef also have a machlekes with regards to challah. And over there, Rabbi Yosef's opinion is the larger opinion. So even though Rabba's opinion over here is the larger opinion, nevertheless, with regards to, Rashi says it's a kaveris, a basket, or a beehive, with regards to a keli, basically, their positions are reversed. Because there is a halacha that discusses whether or not you're allowed to move objects on Shabbos. Now, of course, a regular object you're allowed to move on Shabbos. What happens if you have something that's so big, it's no longer classified as an object? And therefore, the Gemara says that if it's too big, it is not classified as an object anymore. It doesn't have a teres keli on it anymore. And therefore, it's not permitted to move anymore on Shabbos. It doesn't have the dinim of a keli. So what size is considered too big? So in this case, the positions are reversed. Good morning, good morning. In this case, the Amar Rabba, Chalosa, which is this basket, or this beehive, literally, but this basket, Bas Trei Kuri, if it is 2 kor large, if it is enough to contain 2 kors of material, so then it is Asur L'Teltulei, it is prohibited to carry it. Shar L'Teltulei. Bas Tlasa Kuri, if it's 3 kurin large, it is Asur L'Teltulei, it is prohibited to carry it. In other words, 3 kurin is already considered not a keli anymore, it's not a vessel anymore. It is now considered, you know, a house is not a vessel. A car is not a vessel. At what point do we consider it? It's no longer a vessel. So Rabbi says the difference is between 2 and 3 kor. Rabbi Yisrael, on the other hand, says no, it's 3 and 4. Bas Tlasa Kuri, that's still a vessel, and you could still move it. Nami Shari, a utensil, we can call it. Bas Arba'a Kuri, once it's 4 kor big, then it's Usr. So even though their positions with regards to, I'm not sure exactly, you have to really be, you know, figure out a good reason to shtel to the 2 sugyas. I don't see why they should still, just because over here he had the bigger shear, why over here should he have the smaller shear? But the Gemara points out that they are opposite shearim. So, Amar Abaya boy minei demar b'shas maisa. Abaya said, I asked Rabba b'shas maisa, it was halacha l'maisa. I said, am I allowed to move this keli over here? And I showed him a keli. And v'afilu bas trei kuri lo sharli. And he wasn't matter me even to move something that was 2 kurin big. He was like, no, that's too big. So we see that that for halach l'maisa he was even more machmer. Kiman, says the Gemara, kahay tana, like the following tana, that nan kaveras hakash, the kaveras hakonim, if you have a kaveras made out of straw or kaveras made out of reeds, again, this kaveras is like this basket or beehive, ubor safina alexandris, or the pit on an Alexandra's boat, which apparently they had water on the boat in order to maintain fresh water, because I guess the Alexandra's boat were ocean-going vessels, and therefore they wanted to, or even Mediterranean sea-going vessels, and therefore they wanted to have drinking water. So they had this large pit on the boat. So this vessel that was that the pit made that was in the pit in order to keep that drinking water. Even though it has a bottom, even though it can hold two sa'a if a liquid measure, which would be two kor of a dry measure, because you're able to heap up a dry measure and you cannot heap up a liquid measure, at that point it is tahar, because it is too large to be considered a vessel. Abaya points out something. Just by the way, we see from this that if you have a keli which is able to hold a kiddush cup, which is able to hold a whatever amount it's able to hold, if it's holding a dry measure, it's able to hold an extra third over that. Hai gutcha is tilsahavi. It adds on a third of the basket. Now, this is something I don't understand at all. Basically, what he's doing is, what Abai is doing is, he's saying, listen, you told me that if you have a vessel that holds a kura, that holds a kur, memsa balach, it will hold two kur by yavesh. Now, two kur, apparently, is 60 sa. Because each kur is 30 sa. So if you're able to hold 40 by lach, then you're able to hold 60 by lach is a liquid measure, then you're able to hold 60 by yavesh. Now, I don't really understand, because, I mean, it really depends on the size of your keli. How can you give, like, an automatic shear? It's always one third extra. For example, if I have a very low frying pan, very wide and low frying pan, and I fill it up with lach, let's just give numbers. I can have, let's say, 1 liter of liquid measure in there. Fill it up with oil, I can get 1 liter in there. Let's say a liter, just for... Now, if I would fill that up with seeds, I'd be able to pile it up much more than a liter, because it's wide, and it's going to be much more than one-third. You can't say every keli is different. Much. I can have a deep soup pan, which is very deep, and it's able to hold 50 liters. On the top, I don't know if I'll be able to... Let's say I have a deep soup pan, but it's thin. A thin soup pan, so I'll be able to hold 50 liters. On the top, I'm not even able to get an extra liter. So how can the Gemara say that we see from here that one measurement of lach equals two of kurayim?
They quote Rashi.
Yeah. It seems to indicate, according to the north, that
depends on the
Bekalim Shalahem. Shall you assume kis? Shall also a specific type of vessel that was Goivan Kichatzi Rachban Vahim Agulim. They were round and the height was half of their width. A specific vessel like that. That's interesting to note. It's very interesting to note also the size of their vessels, because there's a halakha that says that you're never going to get more. Why are we always trafing up kalim if it's a traf kali? Maybe there was 60 in the vessel wall. Maybe there's 60 more than the vessel walls. 60 of the food inside more than the vessel was. So we have a rule that you're never going to get more than the vessel. You're never going to get more than the food inside more than the vessel walls. I'm just wondering if that, now that we know that they had a specific type of keli, if that rule holds water, pardon the pun, in every situation. I don't know. Okay. All right, so this, that's what Rashi is coming to Bavarn. Okay, Abaye chazya l'Rava deka dovi l'mayrev. Abaye saw Rava that he was looking towards the west in order to determine whether or not it was night or not. Amar leva hatanya kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimin. Didn't it say in the Braisa when the eastern sky is red? Why are you looking at the western sky? Amar le misavet pnei mizrach mamash. Did you think that it means the actual the eastern sky? No, it means the sky that it means the sky that makes the eastern one red. Lo panim ha'ma'adimim es ha'mizrach. You have to look and make sure that the sky that makes the eastern sky red, that's what needs to turn black in order for it, or hichsif, which is silver, in order for it to be considered night. Ikeda Amri, there are those that say, Rava chazil Abaya dekodav l'mezrach. It wasn't Abaya looking at Rava, it was Rava looking at Abaya, that he was staring at the east. Amalei misavret panei mizrach mamash. Do you think that it means the eastern sky? No. Panam ha'madimen is a mizrach. It is the panim, it is the face that makes the mizrach one red. So it means the western sky. V'simanech, and the way to remember this is kavsa, is like a window. Kavsa is a window. Just like the sun goes into the, when a sun comes in, it through a window, it makes the wall opposite it light. So too, over here, when the sun is going down the western sky, it makes the eastern sky red. But you have to look at the western sky. Okay, Rabbi Nechemiah Amar Kadesh Yehalech Oda Mishetishkei Chamachatzim. Rabbi Nechemiah says that it's a half a mil, which is 9 minutes. Amar, so far we had 2/3 of a mil, and we had 3/4 of a mil. Now we're having Rav Nechemiah, which is 9 mil. Amar Rav Chanina, haroitza leida shiur shel Rav Nechemiah. Somebody wants to know the shiur of Rav Nechemiah. Yaniach chama bereisha karmel. The way to know exactly when his shiur is, he should go to, exactly what this means is a machlekes, but he should stand at the bottom of Mount Har Karmel. And when he sees the sun start to be at the roish of Har Karmel, he should run into the Tiberias River. Into the various lake sea. V'yarad v'yitvil v'yam. He should go down, go take a dip in the sea. V'yala and get out. V'zehu shir shel Rabbi Nechemiah. And that is the shir of Rabbi Nechemiah. However, now, again, this is a very hard, I mean, it depends on some people. You leave them in the mikvah, you come in the mikvah, and they're still getting dressed, pulling on one sock. You totally get undressed, go take a shower, go into the mikvah, come out, and you come back, they're still putting on the other sock. Sometimes it takes long for some people to go into the mikvah and to come out. So, this is a very difficult shiur to give. The amount of time it takes for when you decide that the sun is at the Rosh Har Carmel, you go to the mikvah and you come out. All right, but that's the shiur of Rav Nechemiah. If somebody wants to see the Be'er of Miriam, so we know that there was a Be'er of Miriam, there was a Miriam's well, which gave waters, and it went along, it gave fresh water to Klal Yisrael during the Midbar, and it went along, it was a movable well. In fact, in the halachas, we're about to see the halacha, so I'll leave it for the halacha. Let's just see it, and then we'll talk about it. If somebody wants to see the Be'er of Miriam, but this is a movable well. In other words, somewhere on the planet, there is a pit of water that is movable, and it moved along with Klal Yisrael as they went through the Midbar. And it still exists. So if somebody wants to see it, you want to know where it's hiding out? Right now, it hides out in the middle of the Tiberias Sea. Ya'ale l'roisha Carmel, he should go up to the Har Carmel. The Yitzben, he should look out. The Yira Kemin Kevara Bayam. And he will see some like sift. It looks like a sieve or a sifter in the sea. He sees like in a little area that's bubbling or looks choppy. Zuhi Be'er Shemirim, that's where the Be'er Miriam is. Amar Rav, Ma'ayna Metaltel Tahar. Says Rav, if you ever encounter this Be'er, a moving ma'ayon is tahar. V'zehu be'er shemilyam. So halacha l'maisa, if you ever encounter, and there are many, many Hasidish stories where the Hasidish Rebbe was walking and suddenly he said, quick, we have to go to the mikvah right over here. And they saw a bar and he went to the mikvah and he said afterwards, this is the Be'er Miriam, and etc. So, now I'm not sure you want to drink it anymore, but l'maisa, there is halacha lemaisa. It's a kosher mikvah. Anyways, so interesting, very interesting. If you want to see it, go to the Har Carmel and try to scout out exactly where you'd be able to find it. If I remember correctly, Tosfos is supposed to discuss that Har Carmel is on the opposite side, You don't see Tiberias from there. Somebody's supposed to discuss that. It's not. It doesn't. The geography doesn't work out. And maybe it's in the Yam. Yeah. Maybe it's in the other Yam. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Bein Hashmashes to Rabbi Yehuda, Kaihanim Tovlin Bay. During the Bein Hashmashes of Rabbi Yehuda, the Kaihanim are able to go to the mikvah. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. Because the halacha is, you have to go to the mikvah before day ends. Before the day ends. Once the day ends, then you're allowed to go ahead and become tahar. Because when you go to the mikvah, there's residual tumah that's remaining on you until the day ends. If you go Bein HaShemashes, maybe it's already night, and you'll have that residual tumah till the next night. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to go to the mikvah during Bein HaShemashes. Laman, according to whom? Elim Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to say according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to go during my Bein HaShemashes, that can't be. Sveiku, it's already a possible night. Ella Bein HaShemashes to Rabbi Yehuda, little B'yaisi. During Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes, Rabbi Yossi will tell you that you're allowed to go to the mikvah. Because again, Rabbi Yossi had that other opinion, that Bein HaShemashes is a second. And we explained in Taisus before that doesn't mean a second, it means that it's very brief. So, as we see over here, here's another raya. Kehanim are able to go to the mikvah. Oh no, sorry, it's not a raya, because Kehanim are able to go to the mikvah during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes. Kehanim are able to go to the mikvah during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes. Meaning, let's say 6 o'clock is Shkia for us. Rabbi Yehuda would say Bein HaShemashes starts right away. Until 18 minutes later, or 13 minutes later, or 12 minutes later, or 9 minutes later, however long you want to say. Rabbi Yossi says that Bein HaShemashes only starts after you, Chevra, think that it's finished. That's when I hold it starts. You think that the sun sets and that's when Bein HaShemashes starts? No. 13 minutes later, that's when Bein HaShemashes starts. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you're allowed to go to the mikvah during Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes. Kehanim tovim by Pshita, says the Gemara. Of course, why not? So the Gemara, Mahu, the same. I would have thought that Rabbi Yossi thinks that even though his Bein HaShemashes is 5 seconds or whenever it is, it's sometime during that range of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashes, let's say 6:05 or 6 o'clock, or whenever. Kamash Milan, no. Rabbi Yossi's range of 5 seconds or 10 seconds or however long it is only after everybody else is finished. Mahu, the same. I would have thought to say that Bein HaShemashes to Rabbi Yossi is Meishuch Shaychi but Rabbi Yehuda. Is during Rabbi Yehuda's period. Kamash Milan, the Shalom Bein HaShemashes Rabbi Yehuda. Kamash Milan, that no. First, we finish the Bein HaShemashes of Rabbi Yehuda. The Hadar Maschel Bein HaShemashes of Rabbi Yossi. And afterwards, we will start the Bein HaShemashes of Rabbi Yossi. So it goes 6 o'clock is when the sun sets. And again, we're doing Rashi over here, or we're doing the Ga'inim over here. The Ga'inim say that 6 o'clock is when the sun goes below the horizon. That's when everybody's Bein HaShemashes starts. Some say Rabbi Nechemiah holds it goes till 9 minutes later, 6:09. Rabbah holds it goes till, or Rabbi Yosef holds it goes till 6, 18 divided by 4 is about 6:12. Rabbah holds it goes to 6:13. At 6:13 and a half, Rabbi Yosef says that's when Bein HaShemashes starts and it lasts for, let's say, 30 seconds. So from 6:13.5 till 6:14 is Rabbi Yosef's Bein HaShemashes. But he would say until 6:13 in a bit, it's not Bein HaShemashes. And now, all of those shiurim are according to the Ga'inim. Rabbi Natan would say everything we just said, except it doesn't start at 6 o'clock. If the sun dips at 6 o'clock, so then at 6:50, that's when, or 6:55, that's when everything starts. Rabbi Nechemi would say 9 minutes from them, Rabbi would say 12 minutes, Rabbi Yosef would say 12 minutes, Rabbi would say 13 minutes, and then at 72 minutes, at 72 to 72.30, that is when Rabbi Yosef's Bein HaShemashes is. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan Halacha Kerabbi Yehuda Linin Shabbos. Halacha Kerabbi Yosef Linin Truma. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda with regards to Shabbos, and the Halacha follows Rabbi Yosef with regards to Truma. Bishlama says the Gemara Halacha Kerabbi Yehuda Linin Shabbos L'chumra. I can understand what you were saying, says the Gemara, that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to start whenever Bein HaShemasha starts. You have to be choshish for 6 o'clock. Again, well, for now, we'll go with the Goenim, but translate everything in your mind, plus 55 minutes, or whatever it is, for Rabbeinu Tam's 72 minutes. And again, he has the Roiv Rishonim and halachists on his side. So Bishlam halacha Rabbi Yehuda, but Bein Gach, it's all the same. It's 2 separate machlekes. There's a machlekes in the Gemara, and then there's a machlekes in the Rishonim, how to explain the Gemara. In the Gemara, we have so far 3 opinions. There are 4 opinions. There's the 9 minutes of Rav Nechemiah, there's the 12 minutes of Rabbi Yosef, there's the 13 and a half minutes of Rav Rabba, and then we have this, after everything is said and done, we have Rabbi Yosef 30 seconds after everybody else. That's what we're focusing on. So whether those 4 opinions start at when the sun dips at 6, or 55 minutes later, is a machlekes Rishonim. So Amar Abba Abba Chana, we go like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regards to Shabbos. The halacha follows Rabbi Yosi with regards to Hilchos of Truma. So Bishlam halacha Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos. I can understand that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos, that you want to start Shabbos l'chumra. You want to start Shabbos at exactly when Shkia is. Aval l'inyan Truma, what do you mean that the halacha follows Rabbi Yosi l'inyan Truma? Ilem l'tvila, if you want to say that you can go to the mikvah up until his Bein HaShemashas, but why? Sveikehi, it's a regular suffix. Ella says, why are you allowed to go to the mikvah up until his Bein HaShemashas? Ella says the Gemara, la'achilas truma. It means with regards to eating truma. With regards to eating truma, that means that you have to wait until his Bein HaShemashas is over. If you think you're just waiting to 72, that's not enough. You got to wait to 72 and 30 seconds. The lo'achli kahanim truma ad the shalom Bein HaShemashas to Rabbi Yosi. That the kahanim shouldn't start to eat truma because maybe the day is not over yet until Rabbi Yosi's Bein HaShemashas is over. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Koichav Echad, if you go outside and you only see 1 star, it's Yoim. Shnaim, if you go outside and you see 2 stars, it's Bein HaShemashas. Shloisha, once you see 3 stars, that's Laila. Tiny Namihachi, Koichav Echad is Yoim, Shnaim, Bein HaShemashas, and Shloisha is Laila. Amar Vyasi, Lekachavim Gedolim Hanirim B'Yoim, Lekachavim Ketanim She'enirim Ela B'Laila. We're not talking about large stars that you can see even during the day, nor small stars that you can only see by night. Ela B'Nainim, middle-sized stars. And this is another method of determining when Bein HaShemashas is. Officially, it should jive with one of the previously mentioned shiurim. But this is another method. If you don't know, you can go outside, and of course, not in the city, but out and determine if you see 3 stars. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida, ha'oisa melacha b'shnei Bein HaShemashas, chayiv chatas miman avshach. If somebody goes ahead and does malacha during 2 Bein HaShemashas, on Friday at 6:05 he does malacha, and on Motzei Shabbos at 6:05 he does malacha, he is chayav achatas. He's definitely chayav at least once. Because either the day is over the same time every day. Now, if you remember, Jay, we said on Friday, we said on Erev Yontif, you wanted to know if the whole Bein HaShemashas, if night could be at any time during the whole Bein HaShemashas, and arbitrarily a different one, you know, the next night. So we said Rashi holds apparently on Lama Dalet Amar Beis, yes. And Taisa said no. Taisa says that it's going to be the same time every night. It's either 4 minutes into Bein HaShemashas or the second of Bein HaShemashas, but every single night it's the same thing. It's the same, exactly. Well, Taisa has a raya from this Gemara over here, because the Gemara says if you do Malacha the same second of Bein HaShemashas, 6:05 both nights, or let's say 4 minutes after Shkia both nights, then you're going to be Chayav Achatas. According to Rashi, that's not true. Maybe the first night Bein HaShemashas was at the very end. The switch to night was at the very end of that period. And the second night was at the very beginning. So what it means is that if you do it Friday night and Motzei Shabbos, 2 nights back to back. So if you do it 6:05 Friday night and 6:05 Motzei Shabbos, I mean, Maman Avshach, one of those days was Shabbos. According to Rashi, it's not true. Maybe Shabbos started at 6:10 the first night and Motzei Shabbos was at 6:01. If every night it could be slightly different, so then... This is Tosis' question on Rashi. On Lama Dalar Mabiz. Omer Le Rava L'Shameh. Rava said to Hishamish, Atoin, you, Deloi Kim L'Chu B'Shiur D'Rabanan, when you're not clear in the Shiurim over here of 18 minutes of the mill and all these things. So, at the Shimsha Areish Dikla, when you see the sun starting to go down amongst the trees, then itlu sharga, light your candles for Shabbos. B'yayim ha'ma'unin mai, what should we do on a cloudy day? B'masa, in the city, Chazi Tarnagayla, you should see, look at a chicken. Because apparently, you look at a chicken, Rashi says that when they go and roost on beams, that then you know it's still day. And Bedabra, and if you're in not the city, you don't have chickens around, you should look at Orvi and look at these crows, and you should see what they are doing. In other words, when they go to roost, you know it's like 15 minutes before Shkia. Inami Adani. Alternatively, he said you should look at these weeds. Apparently, these type of grass, a special type of grass, follows the sun exactly. Therefore, when you see it, you know, 15 degrees away from the ground, you know that it's time to light candles. And eventually, it will lay flat. So, that's the way to know. Look at the actual sun. If you see the sun starting to hover low over the ground, it's already, the sun is going down, it's shining through the trees. At that point, you know, it's time to, every time I hear that song, by the way, I think of this Gemara. The sun is going down, it's shining through the trees. That's exactly what the Gemara says. When the sun is shining through the trees, that is when it's time to light candles. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. It used to be that they blew the shofar 6 times on Erev Shabbos. And actually, that's the source of the minhug nowadays, that if you've been to Yerushalayim, or I'm sure other cities in Eretz Yisrael, they blow the horn on Erev Shabbos. In fact, they do it in Brooklyn also, but definitely in Kiryas Yoel and, in these other, in New Square, all in Muncie probably, all these heavily Haredi cities, they blow the siren on air. They have the air raid siren go on Erev Shabbos. I don't know if you've ever heard it. In Yerushalayim, I'm sure you've heard it. But they blow the air raid siren, and it comes from this Gemara. Sheish Tekiyah is taken at Erev Shabbos. There's 6 blows that they blow on Erev Shabbos. Rishayna, the first one they blew was in the afternoon. That was Lahavtil Esa'am Mimalacha Shabbosadis. This is, by the way, it's a Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah as well. Lahavtil Esa, to stop the people from doing malacha in the field. Because they have to stop early. They have to put away their sickles and whatnot and then come troop back into town. So let's say Shkia was at 6 o'clock. They would blow this one at 4 o'clock, whatever it is. Shnia, the second one was blown, Lahavtil ir de vechanias, to stop the people in the city. They have to put away their stores and things like that, but they don't have the half an hour trek from the fields. So the first one was to stop the people in the fields. The second one was, an X amount of time later, to stop the people in the city. And the shlishis was to tell everybody that you're 18 minutes before Shabbos or whatever to start lighting your candles. Lahadlika saner, devei Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Huda Anasi Amar Shlishis was lachleitz tefillin. The third one is actually to take off your tefillin v'shoyeh. And after that, they would wait k'day tzlias dog katan, the amount of time it would take to fry a small fish, or k'day lahadvik pas betanor, or the amount of time it would take to stick bread into an oven, v'toikeya, and then they would blow 3 back-to-back, tekeya, tkiya, teruah, umeria, v'toikeya, and then v'shoyeh. And at that point, as soon as they finished the last blow, it was Shabbos. What should we do with these Bavaliyim? That they only blow a tekiya teruah, and then they stop, they start Shabbos from the teruah. Says the Gemara, teikin umerian, then it's only 6 blows, then it's only 5 blows. Havelihu chamisha. Ela sheteikin v'chozim v'teikin umerian, v'shevesin, miteich merian. They did 2 tekiyas, and then they had a teruah. And the Gemara says, minik avesein b'yadayim, that's a minik. I'm not sure what the kasha was. Like, the whole thing was just a signal when Shabbos started. It wasn't like a special din tekiyah. Maybe in the base of Mikdash. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah counts these as special halachas. Like, the Gemara says, they used to blow, there was on Friday they had 27 blows, and sometimes you can get up to 48 blows. I'm saying, but I don't know if there was a special din of tekiyah, teruah, tekiyah like there is on Rosh Hashanah.
Notes here for an explanation as to why Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel objected so adamantly to
the Maharal, Aryeh, and Hazal Yahweh. Oh, okay, fine. Excellent. That's exactly what I'm asking. Like, who really cares? I'm saying, On Rosh Hashanah, I would understand, because there's a din, tkia, teruah, tkia. And if you listen to tkia, tkia, teruah, you're not yoytzei. So then I understand. So he's saying, well, what's going on over here? You know, you're not yoytzei. But there's no, like, yoytzei, these blows. If you're in Yerushalayim and you're in the shower and you don't hear the blows, so then, okay. It's not, like, such a big deal. I mean, I went back to Yerushalayim last year with my wife, so, for Shabbos. So we remember when we used to. She we better be outside for the blow, you know. She was all into hearing that horn, because you know, we were having all our memories. So we had a chalois listening to the blow. You know, we stood outside on the streets, but back in Bavel, I don't know. Anyway, so Masni lo Rabbi Yehuda lo Rabbi Yitzchak bray. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yitzchak, his kid, Shnia lahadlikas haner. He taught him that the second one was to light the candle. Reuven, do you have anything there on what the Maharal says? On why Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel objected so strongly? What?
Not in the front.
Not in the front, okay. Okay, so Masdi lo Rabbi Yehuda lo Rabbi Yitzchak bray, Shnia is lahadlik es haner. The second one, he said that the second one is to light the candles. Says the Gemara, come on. That's not like any of the opinions mentioned, like Rav Nassan or like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Because both Rav Nassan and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, albeit they argued about what the third one was for, was it to light the candles or was it to take off the tefillin, they both agreed that the second one was to stop the people in the city from working. Ella, the Gemara says, you're right. He meant Shlishis Lahadlikas. The third one was to light the candles. Keman, who's that like? That's Kerebi Nassan. That is like Rav Nassan's opinion. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel had a slightly different version. Sheish Tekiyas Taken, Erev Shabbos. They blew six on Erev Shabbos. His chilut kayetki arishana. They started to blow the first one. Nimnu uha imdim besode mila arid. Those who were standing in the field and working the fields, they stopped at that first blow. Obviously, it was a very powerful blow if you were able to hear it in the fields. But the first one, they stopped hoeing umilachrish and plowing umilasis kamilachrish besodes and doing any other work in the fields. The einak kraven rishoyin lekanes achiveyo rechoken. And they would all troop in together. So those who had fields next to the city used to wait until those who had fields further away from the city would troop by, and then together they would all come into the city. And at this point, the stores were still open. The trisen are these window shades that block. They still have it nowadays. In Eretz Yisrael, those things that cover your window are called a tris. But in those days, the tris used to come off, and they used to put all the merchandise on the tris, and they used to have it hanging. You know, if you ever walk through the old city, and you walk through the Armenian shuk, so then everybody has those trisen that close their stores, and they open it, and they hang hundreds of fake and horrible quality items on it. So that's what they hang on the trisen. So sheish tekiyah is taken. So tekiyah rishena nimnu uhamdim besodeh mila arid umila achroish. Sorry. V'chusim menachin hischil letkaya tekiyah shnia. They started to blow the second blowing, and it's talku had treason. At that point, in the second one, they have to take away these treason. V'nin alu achonias. Then they closed up the stores. V'adayin chamin menachin al gabei kira. But at this point, there was still hot food on the stoves. The kederis menachas al gabei kira and pots. So chamin is like pots, and kederis chamin is hot water, and kederis is pots of food. On the kira, at the point that they started to blow the third blow, silika masalik, they took off what was going to go off for Shabbos, the hitman hamatman, and they did hatmana on those that needed hatmana, the hidlik hamadlik, and they lit the candles, the shoya, and at that point they would wait, the amount of time it takes to fry a small fish, or the amount of time it would take to put some bread on the side of the oven, which is not that long. Vitaikea, and then they would blow a tkiya Maria, a trua vitaikea vishayves, and at that point it would be Shabbos. Amar v'yosi berchanina shemati. I heard sheimbala adlik achashesh tkiyas madlik. I heard that if you forgot to light the candles up even after they blew the three tkiyas, you still are able to light the candles, because the person who's blowing the shayfer has to have time to put down the shayfer. He's not going to just drop it. So they obviously gave him an extra, you know, 30 seconds or whatever it is to... Obviously, Shabbos doesn't start for 30 seconds after the blow. Amount of time it takes him to go hide his shofar where he needs to hide it. So if you're hearing that third blow and you still didn't light the candles, quickly light. You still have time. Shahari nasnu chachamim shir lechazan haknesses, because the chachamim gave a shir for the shamash, the chazan and the knesses, for the gabbai, lehoilich shofar lebeisai, to take his shofar to the house. So it says the Gemara, that can't be. Because then every single city would be different based on where the gabbai lives. They didn't give him the amount of time it takes to go home. Not that long. They didn't give him 10 minutes. And every place will be different. At the place where he blows, there was a special place there that he hid it over there. Shesham maniach shofar. Over there, he put the shofar. Because you're not allowed to move a shofar or a chatzesis on Shabbos. A shofar is muksa, except, of course, on Rosh Hashanah. We say that a shofar could be moved and a trumpet cannot be moved. Amar Rav. It is Amar of Yosef. Lekasha can be yachid, can be tzibur. By the way, a chatzosis is like a trumpet, and these are the things they used to have in the. It's like a bugle. It's not a trumpet that we have nowadays with different. With different keys that you can play. It was like a straight bugle. They used to have these in the Beis Hamikdash, and they used to switch off. Most of the blowing in the Beis Hamikdash was actually done with trumpets, and again, I mean bugles, with a special blow. I don't think they have it nowadays, but for kings and everything like that, it was a special like dun-da-dun, but it wasn't like ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta- which I don't know if bugles nowadays have keys. So just a straight one-toned blow. So the Gemara says, like Asha, can be yachid, can be tzibur. The Gemara is going to say, a yachid is able to move his shofar, and a tzibur cannot. Gemara is going to explain why in a second. So that's again, what we're having over here is the Gemara is saying that you're not allowed to move a shofar or one of these bugles. Says the Gemara, that's putting aside that. So that's why they had to give the Chazan and Knesset 30 seconds in order to light in order to put away his shofar or bugle after the Shabbos. By the way, I was saying shofar the whole time, I was just saying blowing the whole time. But from Masechta Sukkah, I think it's Mavur that it's a Chatzitzis they used to blow, not a shofar. Okay, Al Kopanim says the Gemara. Do they say shofar or bugle in our art school? Because I'm looking at Rashi over here, I don't see Mavur which one they used to blow.
The shofar.
They say shofar?
Chatzitzis is the trumpet, they say.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying but back before, by Tan Rabban and Sheish Tekiyas Toikin Erev Shabbos, they used to blow six Tekiyas. Did it say with which instrument?
Yeah, the Gemara says.
What? Sheish Tekiyas Where does it? Oh, very good, very good. What does it say back before? Sheish Tekiyas Toikin? Do they say anything?
The shofar.
Because I'm just wondering, because in Masechta Sukkah, there's this whole Mishnah is actually in Masechta Sukkah. I mean, it doesn't quote it over here in the Amish, but it's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah. And over there, it's discussing the blowing of the Chatzotzris. And it's saying that there are 48 blows. It's interesting.
Isn't this a different situation? Meaning, the Chazan and Knesset is standing in this tower inside the city,
yeah,
the field outside, implying that this is not quite Yerushalayim.
No, that's true. But the Gemara in Sukkah says, the Mishnah in Sukkah says, is counting the 48 on Shabbos, and it says, and the three that the maximum you'll ever get is 48. And the Gemara asks that there's more, but the Mishnah says the maximum you'll get is 48. And in counting it, the Gemara says if it happens on a Friday, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, because of these six, without these six, it would only be 42. you have 9 by the Tamid, or this time, or that time, and whatever the count is, but it only got to 48 because it was a Friday.
So, okay.
But yeah,
the Gemara's going to say that...
I know. Chatzosis and Shefer are mixed up, I know, but I'm just wondering if... if our school said at the beginning, says Shefer, from the fact that they're saying Shefer at the beginning, I don't think the Gemara was mixed up. I don't know if our school was mixed up. That is, we'll have to see. Okay? Loi Kasha says the Gemara can be Yachid, can be Tzibor. So now, on a new point, the Gemara says, Lafisha ain't metatlan loisa Shefer, loisa Chatzesus. They didn't metatl Shefers or Chatzesus. The Gemara says that they did move Shefers and not Chatzesus, that Shefer is not Muksa. Shefer is metatel, Shefer is not muksa. Says the Gemara, it doesn't matter. Can be yachid, can be tzibor. It depends on if you are a yachid, which it's a privately owned shefer, in which case it's not muksa, and a privately owned chatzesus, a publicly owned shefer is muksa. Amalei Abaye ubi yachid l'may chazi. What is a privately owned shefer good for? Hayel v'roy l'gamea by mayim l'tinuk, because you can use it as a horn for a cup to drink with. Betzibor nami. So, betzibor also. You could use it to give to a publicly fed child. Somebody on public funds. Nami chazi legamei letinik ani. You could use it to give it to a poor kid. V'su. And second of all, ha'detani kishem shematatlan es ha-shefer kach matatlan es ha-chatzaytzeis. I have another braisa which says that you are able to move a chatzaytzeis also. The same way you're able to move a shefer, you can move a chatzaytzeis. Ella says the Gemara, the three brises are not a steer to each other, and it has nothing to do with Yachid or Tzibor. Ella Leikasha, HaRabbi Yehuda, HaRabbi Shimon, and HaRabbi Nechemya. This that it says both of them are movable, it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that he does not generally machmir in the halachas of Muksa. And therefore, you're able to use both as a cup, both if it's publicly owned or privately owned, you're able to use both as a cup, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemiah. The first one is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of Muksa. And therefore, shofars are able to be moved, whether they're publicly owned or privately owned, because they could be used as a cup. So since they could be used as a cup, and they serve as a cup, therefore they're not Muksa. Chatzaytus, on the other hand, cannot be used as a cup, and therefore they are Muksa. Rabbi Shimon, who says that any Keli is not Muksa. And the third opinion, who says that they're both muksa, in our Gemara that was the first opinion, who says that they're both muksa, is Rabbi Nechemiah, who says that any keli is considered muksa. This last one is Rabbi Nechemiah's opinion, who says the halacha is that Rabbi Nechemiah holds that any keli, if you're not moving it for its main purpose, it's muksa. So very interesting. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, if you're sitting at your table and you pick up a fork just to play with, it's usser. Because you can't move anything on Shabbos if it is not for a permitted purpose. Now, this that Rabbi Shimon is matter you to move the chatzaytzeis is a bit hard to understand. What's the pshat? Because Rabbi Shimon, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And we know that it's usher to move an item that the main purpose of this item is for whatever is to you're not allowed to move a trumpet on Shabbos. The main purpose of a trumpet is in order to blow the trumpet. And over here, you don't even have a secondary purpose that you could say it's used for drinking. People don't use their trumpets. So how could the Gemara say that, oh, it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion who says that you're allowed to move even he says he doesn't hold a muksa. So Tosis explains that it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion that holds that you're allowed to move something that is muksa l'tzorech gufoy umakaymai. And that's how we paskin. If you left by mistake your trumpet on your bed, or let's say you left your cell phone or your phone on your bed, you're allowed to move it. L'chatchila. Regular picking it up and putting it away. Because it is called a kli shemalachta l'iser. It's not really muksa. The main purpose of this item is to do a malacha with it. So that's why it's muksa. It's not muksa because it has no use. It's muksa because its main purpose is for a malacha. Such an item you're allowed to move lechatchila if it's A, in your way, or B, you need it for whatever purpose. For example, you need to scratch your back with a pen or whatever. So you take a pen on Shabbos and you scratch your back. It's totally mutter lechatchila. And if you want to give your kid a toy to play with, so let's say that might be mutter lechatchila. It might be mutter. Let's say you know you have a muksa toy. So you want to give him a piano. So for you, the main purpose of this toy is to play with, would be playing it with muksadik. You want to give it to your kid. Now, lav davka, your kid will play it in the muksa fashion, and if it's given, but assuming that it's mutter to give to your kid, then you're allowed to pick it up and give it to him because you're doing it with tzorich gufay. Anything that you're doing with tzorich gufay is mutter. That's what the Gemara means, according Tosfos explains that Rabbi Shimon. Because even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's not mutter to move a trumpet for nothing. You can't just move a trumpet. Now Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, holds that you can't, it's muksa gomer. And the same way you can't move a rock if it's on your bed, you can only move it with your elbow or whatever. So too, you cannot move a phone if you left it on your bed. But we do not paskin like that. So that's the machlekes. But nevertheless, according to Rabbi Huda, he holds that you're allowed to move a shofar because it has a main use. The use being, you could use it as secondary, as a cup. As we all know, whenever you're in the need of a cup, you just go to your shofar shelf and you use it as a shofar, use it as a cup. But, so that's the three-way machlekas over here. Rabbi Nechemi, on the other hand, is the most strict opinion. He holds even klisha malachte leheter is aser. Unless you're doing it for the right purpose. So you cannot take a fork and use it for a secondary purpose. You have to use it for its main purpose. Says the Gemara, Umay Shofar Nami, and this that we're saying, that this that Rabbi Nechemia says, because if you look in Rabbi Nechemia's, this last one, Kishem Shemetaltlin, no, sorry, if you look in the first one, Rabbi Nechemia again was the first one, back on Lamad Hema Beis, it says, Lefi She'ein Metatlin lo yisa shofar v'lo yisa chatzitzos. Oh, that is the one that says, that is the one. Yeah, so Reb Reuven, the Baron boys are right. That that raya that you brought me is, I knew the Gemara was going to switch the words shofar and chatzitzos, but I didn't realize it was on this one. That raya that you brought me is not a raya. The Gemara says that the diak is lo yisa shofar v'lo yisa chatzitzos. The Gemara says that in Rabbi Nechemia's times they switched my shofar nami it's chatzitzos. That shofar that Rabbi Nechemia talks about, the shofar and chatzitzos get switched, but it's in that same brisa that says the meniach shofar, and it really means meniach chatzitzos. Umay shofar nami, the shofar that's in that brisa is really a chatzitzos. K'dei Rav Chista, d'amar Rav Chista, hani tlas mili ishtanu shemayhu mi beicharav beis hamikdash. The following three things had their names switched when the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Chatzitzos rasa shofar. A chatzitzos, which is this bugle, used to be called a shofar, or is now called a shofar. The kitzur, it got switched. What used to be a chatzitzos is now a shofar, and a shofar became called a chatzitzos. We, who are not familiar with the language, switched back, and we call a shofar a shofar. So that braisa, which says shofar, really meant chatzitzos. So therefore, it does mean chatzitzos. What I am surprised about, though, is art scroll. Now, the only question is art scroll, because coming from that Gemara in Sukkah, I'm pretty sure it should have said chatzitzos throughout the whole sugya. I don't have back when it says Sheish Tekiyos, it should have said. What?
Check.
What, in Sukkah?
Yeah.
Okay, look at it over there. It's like a Nun Gimel. I'm just seeing if there's any Rashi's or anything like that. One second. Yeah, it should have said Chatzitzos. I'm surprised with the... Okay. You have anything there, Reuven? Or they just say Shofar with no comment.
Right.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was with a trumpet. Okay, says the Gemara, Umay Shofar Nami, Chatzitzos. This Shofar that it says in Rebbe Nechemia's Braisa, it really means Chatzitzos. K'dei Rav Chisda, and it says that these three things got switched. Rechem Reza is three lines on the bottom on Lamed Hamer Beis. Or four. Makam Tzenua Yesh Lechazan Knesses Bereish Gagoy. They had a private spot for the Bereish Gagoy. Shesham Manich Shofrei. Because there they left the shofar, which we're saying is really a chatzitzis, and because they did not, you're not allowed to move neither a shofar nor a chatzitzis, which really means nor a chatzitzis nor a shofar. Doesn't really make
it.
Because that's the one that says that both of them cannot be moved.
Okay.
Doesn't say. Just
says tequilas in the Mishnah. Yeah, the Mishnah, I know. The question is the Gemara there, Mavur, or anything? Do you see Rashi there say anything? Does it say with the Chatzaitis? I'll tell you, the other ones in the Mishnah there are definitely a Chatzaitis. The ones that they do by the Tamid and the ones that they do on the steps, they're all Chatzaitis. So I'd be surprised if some of them were Shavers, but it could be. Anyways, I think it's pretty Mavur over here because the Gemara says that it says Miniach is a Shofar, and it says that it really means Chatzaitis. So everything works out. The only one that doesn't work out is Art Scrolls at the beginning of the Sugya. Okay?
They're saying throughout, you know, when things are Shofar.
Shofar, yeah.
They blow this, blow that, they say you have no Shofar.
Right. So that's the only thing that doesn't work out. Okay. They could be right still. I'm just coming mostly from memory over here, so I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, Damar Chizda says the Gemara. There are three things. Lamai Nav Kamina says the Gemara L'Shefer Shel Rosh Hashanah. In Nav Kamina Shefer Shel Rosh Hashanah, that when Nechemiah tells you to blow a Chatzoytus on Rosh Hashanah, you should know that he really means the regular ram horn utensil that we have. Okay, the next thing that got switched was the name Arava and Tzavtzifa. Oh, here's another Maseches Sukkah for you. Tzavtzifa is another Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. Where, Baron Boys, do you know where that is?
Yeah, it's Parak Gimel.
Very good.
Mishnah.
Very good. Tzavtzifa is a type of leaf that the Arava tree is sometimes mixed up with.
But
very good. Tzavtzifa is a type of leaf that the Arava is mixed up with. It has rounded edges instead of pointed edges. And it looks otherwise basically the same as the Arava tree. And the halacha is those are not kosher. So when buying Arava trees, there are many varieties of the Arava tree that are mutter. You just have to make sure that it has the three qualities that are mentioned in the Paiskim. And the quality that's mentioned in the Mishnah is the Tzavtzifa. That's pasul. That's the rounded leaves. So Arava and Tzavtzifa got mixed up. It used to be that these Arava leaves were called Aravas, and the Tzavtzifa leaves were called Tzavtzifa. And after the Churban, for some reason, it got mixed up. And again, this is Davka when they went to Bavel. Nowadays, we call Arava the Arava, and the Tzavtzifa the Tzavtzifa. We're back to normal. Tzavtzifa is Arava, the Minav Kamina, the Luluv. And finally, Psaira and Psarta, the name Psaira got mixed up with Psarta. They used to call a big table, if I remember, was called a Psaira, and a small one was called a Psarta. That got mixed up also. Psarta became a Psaira. The Minav Kamina says the Gemara, Lemekach Umemka. The Nav Kamina was for a Mekach Umemkar, that you used to go to a store and you say, I'd like to buy a Psarta, and you mean a small little table. And they bring out, and a Psar was this large table. After the Korban, for some reason, it got mixed up. Now, if Kamina, you would walk into a shop and say, I'd like a Psara, and they'd bring you this tiny little table, and like I said, a Psara. And, or this guy, you know, brings his small little car there to pick up his Psarta, and they have, you know, six guys schlepping out this huge table. So he's Lemekach Umemkar. When you go to the market, you should know that they switched this for some reason. Amar Abaye Af Anu Noimar. We also say there's another mistake. Hovlila Beikasi and Beikasi Hovlila. That they used to call the Hovlila, which is the Rashi explains this. There's the two different stomachs in the cow. One of them is called the Hemsis, and one of them is called the Beikasis. If you've ever seen the stomach of a cow, one of the stomachs have a lot of looks like the bottom of an octopus. It's got has those suction cups, and it's full of cups. It looks like cups. Now I've actually never seen it live. I've only seen it in picture books, but that's what it reminds me of. It looks like the bottom of an octopus, and so it's called the Beikasis. So it used to be that the Havlila was called, the Hemsis was called the Havlila, and the Be'akosis was called Be'kasi. But for some reason it got switched up. The Havlila turned to Be'kasi, and Be'kasi turned into Havlila. The Minaf Gemino, who cares what the names are? A stomach's a stomach, just say the stomachs of a cow. The Gemara says, because there is a difference in regards to the halachas. The Minaf Gemino, the Machat Shenimsas, Ba'ove Be'kasis. The Naf Gemino is that if you find a pin or a needle in the stomach of the basic kvas, in the basic kvases, that the mitzad echad ksheru mishnei tzadim trefa, if it goes through, and this is exactly as machlekas we're showing him exactly to explain these lines, but it really doesn't have anything to do with our gemara over here. The machlekas in chulin to understand, does it mean if it goes through, it pierces the entire? In other words, the Beis HaKosis has two layers. So therefore, if a pin pierces one layer and doesn't pierce both layers, the animal is not a trefa. But by the Hemsis, the other stomach, it only has one layer. So if the pin pierces one layer, it's already a trefa. That's one version, or the second version is it has to go all the way through. Benkech benkech, it's a machlekes in Maseches Chulin, exactly what this Mishnah means, but either way, there's a difference between the stomach called the Be'akosis and the stomach called the Hemsis. So if it gets switched around in terminology, then you have to know, if it gets switched around, if the terminology gets switched around, so then you have to know exactly, that if the terminology gets switched around, then you have to know what the halacha is. So the machat shenim says ba'ove beis hakosis. The mitzad echad it's ksheru, mishnei tzadim is trefa. From one side it's kosher, and from the other side it becomes a trefa. If it, again, it means if it pierces both layers of the stomach. You know, there's a story with Rabbi Baruch Ber where he was learning. Somebody came to ask him a shayla, a practical shayla with a chicken. So he said, listen, the practical side of things, I don't know, but I'll tell you, if this is, you know, that part, and this is that, and that's called broken, then it's treif. I'll tell you the shach and taz on it, but I can't apply it practically. That's like, yeah, that's what he said. So, I'll tell you, the halacha is be'akosis is kosher, and be'ahemsis is motor, but I don't know what a be'akosis or a hemsis is, so. All right.